So if you're here this morning and it's your first time, it's a special Sunday. So for the past 10 weeks, we've been working through this series, The Unlikelies. And every week, we've been taking a different person's story from Scripture. And these are all like heroes of Scripture. So people like Gideon and David and Rahab and Deborah. And these are people that have been powerfully used of God. So when you read through the Scriptures and you read their stories, we're drawn to how they were powerfully used by God, and we think, oh, like they were these super spiritual people. They were somehow elite or above me or beyond me. And we've been looking at how they were actually very unlikely. So almost every single person that you encounter in the pages of Scripture is unlikely to be used of God because they're human beings who've got flaws. And one of my favorite things about the Bible is that it doesn't gloss over flaws. It doesn't gloss over people's failures, but it does highlight this all-powerful, amazing God who can do anything. And so in this series, we've been talking about how God takes these ordinary, even unlikely people and uses them for great things. And the reason we look at Scripture isn't so that we can study what happened a couple thousand years ago or 3,000 years ago so that we're more educated or more knowledgeable about these things. It's because we want to learn about what God's like right now. And so even today, a couple thousand years later, God wants to use unlikely people to do things for him. And as your pastor, that's one of the things that I try to encourage often, is that as God does a work in your heart, he wants to use you to show other people his love and his goodness and his awesome power. Most time we feel unworthy or unlikely to be used of God. But God wants to use each one of us for his purposes and for his glory. And so we have a couple people that have actually moved here from both of them actually from the East Coast to be a part of the outreach and the ministry that's going on here. And so I just thought it'd be really cool to have them both share their stories. And they're ending this series, The Unlikelies, because they're both modern-day stories of unlikely people to be used of God, okay? And that's not like a down on them. That's not me saying like, wow, I can't even believe God would use you. Because really, if God's going to use any of us, we're all unlikely, right? Like we can all think of things in our life that would make us unlikely. And so they're going to share a little bit of their testimony and the journey that God led them on to bring them here. And so we're going to start with Shauna. And I've been talking with Shauna for the last few weeks. She's coming here to take over the children's ministry. And I'm really excited about it. I've known her for a long time. I'll say nothing more because I might steal something she was going to say. So here's Shauna. Come on up.
Thank you. So like Nathan said, I have known him for a long time, probably 7-8 years. So I've known the Massacre since they were really little. So it's been a blessing to even see them throughout my story. It's been really cool how God has brought it all around in a complete circle, even from long before. So Nathan said, I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Middleton, Nova Scotia. Most of you probably don't know where that is, but Truman does because we grew up together. So that's the only fun part. So Middleton, Nova Scotia is very small, very remote. It's a big country area. We're called the Valley, and we're the heart of the Valley. So it's a bunch of farmers, apple blossoms, farming, cows. That's about it. Definitely not like a city here in Thunder Bay. So it's very different, and I've been there for the last 2 years, even so doing ministry. But it didn't always start off like that. Like the series says, it's the unlikelies. And so for my story, it didn't start off in the church. Actually, the extent of my knowledge about God was I was baptized into the Catholic Church. And as long as I was good enough and did good things and was nice and said please and thank you, that's all that I had to do to go to heaven. This idea of being good enough. And from a very early age, I realized that I was not good enough because I was actually born premature. I'm deaf in one ear, so from that, kids are mean and they bully, and I was bullied a lot at a young age. I have two older siblings who partied a lot in our house, so probably at like Malachi's age, you just finished grade six, actually a year younger than Malachi. I would have tried alcohol already. Because my sister is 7 years older than me, so she would have been drinking in the house, and me being the cool kid I was, I snuck it and was like, ooh, this tastes like juice. And so that was my first experience with alcohol, and it wasn't taught that it was a bad thing or that I shouldn't do that at age 11 or 10. But my mom, and she's so loving, very nice woman, her idea was she didn't want us to go behind their backs. She wanted us to learn how to handle it so that we wouldn't leave the house and end up dead like a lot of her friends did in her generation. And so I understand her thinking, but because of that, I started drinking at a really early age because I always wanted to feel like I was included with people. And where I'm from, it's cool if you start drinking and if you start partying, or for myself, or flirting with boys and having relationships, that was considered cool, and how you would fit in with those around you, because it's a very small community, and you grow up with the people you graduate with, so they know you, and they know your junk. So for that, to be cool and to fit in, and mind you, I was kind of popular, you partied, and you partied a lot, because in the summers, I would be drinking at 12 o'clock at lunchtime, because my parents weren't home, and I could sneak it. But because of that, a lot of shame and guilt started rising up because I was doing things that would only satisfy me momentarily and wouldn't satisfy me eternally. And I didn't know that. I didn't know about this relationship that I could have with the Almighty, with a God who loved me so much. So it was really cool because one summer, in amongst my partying, I decided to clean my room, which usually doesn't happen. You can ask Esther. She saw my dorm room, and it's quite messy. And so my friend and I were cleaning it, and we found a Bible in my room from 1995. That's when I was born, from a church that wasn't Catholic, where I played baby Jesus. And I was like, what the heck is this? So I just tossed it, put it aside. I was like, cool. I was like, Mom, why do I have a Bible? And I just went on from that, and I just set it aside. But I see now that God was already working in my heart in that moment. And so I just went along life, partying, flirting with boys, doing what I wanted, with the shame and guilt that came from that. And then two of my cousins almost died. They were both in near-death experiences, and one was actually on life support for quite a long time. And from that came these questions of what would happen to them if they did die. And so then I remembered that Bible that I had in my closet way up top, and I pulled it out. And like a good student, I started in Genesis. I got bored in Genesis, and I put it away again. Because nobody had taught me that I didn't have to start at the beginning, that it's actually 66 books in one big book. So I got bored. Very easily. But I brought to my friend, and I'm like, well, is there youth groups around here? Like, I had been talking to my mom, and she believes in God, so she was like, well, there's a youth group. And so I told my friend, I'm like, let's go to youth group. She was like, you're one of the biggest partiers in the high school. You are not going to youth group. So I didn't go to youth group, and I kind of set that aside and was like, well, you're right. Like, I would never go to that place. It's just not me. It's not who I am. And so I continued living my life that way for a little bit. And then I went into grade 11 and I had this friend in a Canadian history class. And everybody else was high on marijuana, and they all smelled like it. So I didn't want to sit with them because it smells really bad. It smells like skunk, actually. And so I was like, who do I sit with? I don't know who to sit with because one of my brothers is in this class. I don't want to sit with him. I don't want to sit with all my friends. Like, I don't know what to do. And so there's this friend. Well, we didn't like each other, actually. I thought she was stuck up. She thought I was obnoxious. We laugh about it now. And I just sat with her because I knew that she wasn't into drugs, that she wasn't like the rest of us Valley folk who did. And so I just sat with her. She's wonderful. She's an amazing woman. And I just sat with her in Canadian history, and we just started talking. We started talking about our summers because it was really early on. And she just started talking about this Harvest Youth mission that she went on the previous year, which is with Harvest House. You would have heard of that through Nathan and his dad. And it's a traveling team where they went and shared the gospel with youth in unlikely situations. they brought them to the rougher areas to share the gospel through testimony, rap, dance, dramas, and other sorts similar. So it was very different, and she just started talking to me about that. And I just looked at her, and I'm like, I'm good, thanks. Like, you're cool, but no. But a lot of stuff had started happening. I was hit by a car that year, threatened with a gun, actually, by my boyfriend at that time. We stopped dating that day. And just this terrible situation, and God just brings this girl, and she starts sharing about Jesus. I'm like, that's cool. He's up there. I'm down here. You do you. Whatever. But she kept talking to me and inviting me to this thing called youth group. And I was like, that's weird, because I had thought about that this last summer. And she didn't push it like I thought Christians would. I thought she would just, like, tell me I'm going to hell, and that was about it. But she told me about this loving Jesus who wanted to have a relationship with me. And she kept inviting me, but she wasn't pushy by any means. And eventually, because friend dynamics were changing and it was just getting worse, the situations that we were finding ourselves in, that I just said, hey, can I come with you to youth group? And she was excited. I knew that. And so I eventually went with her. And God started speaking like he always does. He always starts when we are willing to take that step. He will meet us there. And that's what he started doing even before I realized that. Because I was caught up in my shame and my guilt and my imperfections and wanting to please people and to get them to like me. But he met me in those moments. So I'm the type of person that I won't do it unless I'm committed. So me going was like, okay, I'm actually going to be open to this. Because when I do something, I just kind of go all in. I kind of dive, and then I try to swim. So that, like, and half the time I'm, like, somewhat drowning, and then I need friends. So I just jumped into it and was like, okay, let's do this. So they had a drama team and a dance team, which don't see me dance. But my friend was doing it, and she was leading it. And I remember her saying, well, I don't know if anyone will come. And I felt so bad for her that I was like, well, I'll come. And so I started learning about Jesus in unconventional ways, in ways that he knew that my heart needed to hear from him, because I didn't need someone to tell me that I'm right or wrong. I needed to have an encounter with Jesus. I needed to know that he was personal and not some far-off being who didn't care about me. So I learned about him in unconventional ways. And eventually, after our dance night, I asked my friend Lindsay to pray with me to accept Jesus. And we did. Very shortly after, I met Nathan at a retreat. They're crazy. It was hilarious and totally fun. And then I signed up for this Harvest Youth Mission, HYM, to travel that summer with them for like a month or something like that. And it's crazy what God started doing in the very, like, few months of me proclaiming to be a believer. Mind you, I totally didn't tell my family at this point, because I didn't know how to. And I was too scared, and I didn't know what to do. But that's fine. We're good now. But I went to this trip, and very early on, I had been wrestling with baptism. I was like, well, I kind of want to be baptized, but I was. And I can't go underwater, because if I get water in my ears, I can't hear for a week. And so I was like, well, probably not going to happen, whatever. And then the next day, Nathan had put an invitation for us to want to be baptized. And in that very moment, God spoke to me for the first time. It was a little scary. He was like, do it. And I didn't even think and stop. I was like, okay. So I went to Nathan, and I was like, Nathan, how does this work? And actually, funny enough, that was 7 years ago today. It came up on Facebook today. That it came up, and I looked at Nathan, I'm like, that's so weird. But I went to him, I'm like, how will this work? Because I can't get water in my ears. And simple enough, he's like, just plug them. Okay, so that's what we did. But in that moment, so I texted my sister, said, I just got baptized. And then in their thinking, my mom freaked out. She freaked out. She was like, are you joining a cult? And she was literally on her way to get me. And I was like, you need to calm down. I'll talk to you in a couple days. And I was just telling her what God had been doing. I was like, well, for me, baptism isn't doing it as a baby, but it's a proclamation of my faith. And God was just giving me this revelation of what it means to be baptized. And I just shared it with her. And I was like, I'm going to let things calm down for a couple days, and I'll call you later. So that's what we did. And I continued serving. I went home. Things were still really tense because my mom was quite mad at me for doing that. And got to the point the other Harvest Youth Mission Trip team was in Nova Scotia, because there was two teams, one in New Brunswick, one in Nova Scotia. And they were at my church for that week, so I went and did some ministry with them because I was there anyway with VBS. And I was helping with them, and my mom had read my journal where I was wrestling through the concerns that I had for them, because they didn't seem to be believers, and I was just journaling that because that's one way that I speak to God, is in journaling, because my thoughts go crazy. I have a girl brain. It's like spaghetti. And so I was journaling it, and she had read that, and she was livid. So she came to the church, pulled me out, and was like, what is this? And she's like, I know more than you. And I was like, okay, sure. But at that moment, she asked me, she's like, who do you choose, your family or your God? And all I knew, because mind you, I was only a couple months in, Nathan had repeatedly said, I love God more than my family. He had drilled that into us, and I'm like, God, I choose God, I don't know. And so I was like, I choose God over everyone. And so in that moment, she kicked me out for a day, just due to the height of the dramatics. She was hurt, I was hurt, everyone was hurt, and I understand it now. And so we had brought resolution to that. Nathan called my mom. Other people rallied around and helped us work through that, which was a huge blessing to me. But in that summer, through serving with HYM, God had stirred this passion for the lost and the broken, for those who are unlikely and far from Christ, because I had never seen homelessness. I had never seen prostitution or brokenness in those forms. And God had started opening my eyes to the realities and the hurts of this world. And I just loved sharing about Jesus. And I didn't know why, and I didn't understand it. But thankfully, I had people around me who could identify that for me. But I just started, like, I just loved it. I loved seeing God transform people in their situations and their circumstances, and seeing them come to know Jesus. And so I was going into grade 12. I was praying about what to do, talking with Nathan, talking with other people. And I had a sense that I should go into ministry. There's two schools in New Brunswick that are Christian. One is Kingswood, one is Crandall. I applied to both because I didn't know which one to go to. I talked with people. Nathan was like, you're going to Kingswood. And I was like, I'm going to pray about it. And so God had given me dreams about being on Kingswood campus, because that's how he speaks to me a lot of the times, is in my dreams. And he gave me a dream of being there. And so I put it off. I was like, well, God, like, there's other factors here. So, like, we had a retreat, a youth retreat, and I was like, God, get the speaker to say my name if I'm supposed to go to Kingswood. Because I'm like, I just really need to know. And so the speaker did that moment. And the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I started shaking. I'm like, okay, I'll go. Like, enough. And so I decided to go to Kingswood. Another one of my prayers to go there was that my dad, who is a very serious New Zealander man, he's from New Zealand, so farmer, very serious, doesn't say much, but I knew he was worried about me going. So I was praying that he would come into agreement with it, that he would just say, this is where you need to go. And actually, Kingswood had called for me, but I wasn't home. And my dad answered, and he talked with them and asked his questions and concerns. And then after that, told me that I think you should go there. And I was like, what? Okay, thank you, God, for how you line things up. And so I went to Kingswood. So I was just there not too long ago. I graduated 2 years ago, and I studied two degrees. I have an Associate of Arts in Evangelism and Compassion Ministry, and then I have a BA in ministry with a focus in youth, so youth ministry, of course. And I just learned about Jesus and how to lead and to do ministry there. And it's a great place to learn, great place to really start at the bottom and work up in your understanding. And it's a really awesome place to be for 4 years, and actually graduated with Nathan I beat you in Old Testament. That's the only class I won. Because the only way I would focus long enough was I had to have a competition. And I know Nathan's much smarter than me because he actually read everything. So he would always win, except for New Testament. I beat him by 1%. So I win. And so it was a great place to learn the foundations of my faith and to learn how to lead in ministry. And so from there, I was actually in New Zealand for my last semester of school, because why not? Actually, my grandfather was sick, so I went to see him. And I finished there, but I still had to do an internship. And so God led that for me to go to my hometown. I actually had another dream of serving there. And I went back to my hometown, and I've been there for the last 2 years. And this, funny enough, is the same church that I played baby Jesus at and where God confirmed my call to ministry. So it's really full circle there. But I had sensed my time there coming to a close because my position technically was ministry assistant. So basically I was doing admin. And if you know me and you've seen my room like Esther, you will know that I'm not organized. Right, Esther? Yeah, I'm not organized at all. I am not, like, I was making bulletins, and I'd be like, well, I think it's good enough, but it never really was. But they kept me on because they saw my potential in ministry. And from that, God opened the doors for me to lead the children's ministry and to lead the youth ministry for the last 2 years, and it was a huge blessing to me. And actually, someone had sponsored my wages, so I would focus more in youth ministry, which was cool for me to do. But I had sensed my time there coming to an end because this May, the sponsorship was ending. And so I was like, God, what am I to do? Like, I don't want to go back to doing admin because I hate it and it's like soul sucking because it's not my gifting and I don't want to do it. But I was like, but God, I will be willing to do it if you don't open any other door. But I started knocking on doors. I had messaged or had applied to a Christian-based group home in Ontario. Because long ago, I sensed God calling me to Ontario because I want to work with rougher teens and rougher communities. And God just closed that door, and I had messaged Nathan to pray about it. I was like, can you just pray about this? Oh, by the way, I got engaged. Pray about this. Thanks. And that's the extent of our conversation. It wasn't long by any means. And a couple weeks later, after the door had closed with this Christian-based group home, Nathan, jokingly or unjokingly, you never know with him. He messaged me and was like, you should just come here. And I kind of laughed and was like, yeah, okay. Like, maybe, probably not. But he was like, yeah, you should. And I was like, what are you doing? So I was like, okay, like, I'm willing to have a call with you. Let's chat. I've known you forever. You've been a huge part of my Christian walk. So we called, we FaceTimed. He told me about the ministry happening here at Transformation Church. And he knows my gifting. So he's like, this would be awesome for you to come. And I was like, that sounds really cool. But then he looked at me. He's like, I don't really have a position for you, though. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, I'm highly doubting that I'm going there. Because it doesn't seem like it would line up. Because if I were to come, I want something that align with my giftings. I'm really big on serving in your giftings. As I lead, I won't lead others into areas that they're not gifted in because I've done that and it's not fun. But God has used that because I need admin in youth and children's ministry. So there's a reason he made me do it. And so we had called, and after that call, I went to the Lord in prayer. And I looked at scripture, and if you don't know this, but Jesus actually prayed scripture, so I think we should too. And so, because, I mean, we follow Jesus, so let's follow how he prayed. And so, I turned to the scripture, and I know in Matthew, Jesus talks, and he says, don't pray like the pagans do, for they babble on and on. And so I went to the Lord, and I'm like, well, God, I'm not going to babble like a pagan. And I know that when I pray in the will of the Holy Spirit, I just kind of leave it there. I leave it at your feet, and I'm not going to be concerned or worried about it. And so I prayed. I was like, God, I know there's another girl there right now, but if you really want me to be there, cause her to leave. And I was like, but if you know my heart, you know that that's really hard for me to do because I love the church and I love God's people. So even in my prayers, like, but God, if this will hurt her in any way, like, just don't. I was like, but make sure she's okay because I don't want her to be hurting. I don't want her to fall away from you or anything like that. But cause her to leave, because if I were to go, even with her leading and being over me, I'm very big with honoring those God has placed as an authority over you in ministry. And so I was like, God, I don't know if I could yield to her leadership. So if I were to go, I wouldn't want to overstep her because that would be your call in her life. And I would have to be okay with that. So I don't want to do that to my sister in Christ. So just cause her to leave. And so I left it at that. I felt terrible, but I was like, okay, well, probably won't happen, so I'm not going to go. And so I just continued on life. I had been praying still as God was, I sensed him closing the door. And I was talking to Nathan. I was trying not to pester him. I'm not so subtle. I was like, hey, you talked to her yet? No? Okay, bye. And I just, because I was trying to get a feel for what was happening here, but Nathan doesn't always tell you what's happening, so I just had to kind of gauge what was happening. But I could sense that the Lord was up to something, as he always is. And so one Sunday night, as I was at youth group, it was actually a messy night, and I had, like, icing all over my face and marshmallows stuck to it. Kids, we get into it. We go hard at youth group, that and pizza. It's the way to their hearts, guys. So as I was covered in icing, it was on my hair. I was trying to smear it on the teens' faces because revenge. Because they're not nice. I get a message from Nathan, and he says, she's leaving. And I was like, hold up, what? And so my first response is she okay? As I was praising Jesus, because I was like, you are crazy awesome, but is she okay? Because, like, I don't want her to be hurt any. But it was really cool because Nathan had connected me with her, this girl, and we were able to chat about the ministry here. And I had asked her, like, how did you decide to leave? And she had told me that God told her that in order for someone else to come, she had to go. And I was like, that is just so God. He, of course, would do that. Because as we press into him and we seek him in, like, authenticity and we're real with him, he shows up one way or another. It might not always be a yes, because it could be no, not now, wait, or never going to happen. But he answers us, and he was answering in a very real and tangible way. And then I had a video call with the team on FaceTime, I think, and we just chatted. And they continued to pray about it, as I was as well. And we just sensed God had clearly spoken, evidently, as I'm here. And so that's how I've come to Transformation Church in my heart, is to see this next generation as a lot of the times we separate them from the church, but they're really the church now. That these children are going to be the movers and shakers for the kingdom, not later, but they are right now. And to implement that into their hearts. So shaking things up with Sunday school, we're going to be shaking things up with the youth. We're hopefully going to start a youth group. So I'm excited for that. And the heart is to draw people out for us as well, not to just stay in the church, because honestly, I never wanted to work in a church. I wanted to work on the streets with people who are hurting so that they would find Jesus, not in a weird way. But to very much meet people where they're at, because that's what Jesus did. He went to the streets and he went to the prostitutes and the tax collectors and met them in their circumstances. And that's my heart as well, is to meet people where they're at, especially this younger generation, because they're more fun than us adults. They say things like savage and like yeet and these weird sayings, but they're fun. Oh, thanks, Malachi. And to see them come to know the Lord in ways that I never was able to. Andrew and Esther and Shane and all the rest, I'm not going to say all your names because I don't know them all. That you guys, by the time you're my age, you're going to be stronger in your faith than I am right now. That Esther, you're going to do great things for the kingdom because you know him so well. And I am blessed to be a part of that. She likes when I pick on her. It's totally fine. She told me to. Awesome. So praise God because he is at work and I'm so pumped to be a part of it.
Awesome. Thanks, Shauna. The thing I love about testimonies, and I was reminded again as Shauna was sharing, is when someone's sharing their story and she's talking about this season in her life where she was just in the party scene and getting lost in amongst her friends at school, I'm always thinking, Lord, how many that are still living that way that you want us to reach with the gospel, like this person that reached her? Like, and that's what I believe God is doing amongst us at Transformation Church, not just the leadership, but just amongst us, that as he changes us, it has an impact on those around us. And the girl she's talking about, she was actually here last fall, her and her husband, and he preached, and she helped lead worship, and so some of you guys would have been there for that. Their names are Oliver and Lindsay. But it's just amazing to me when God does something inside of us that it has an impact on our friends. And so just continue letting God be at work in your heart, because it'll bring change to someone's heart that's out there, that's in the state that Shauna was. God is good, really, really good. So we're going to have one more testimony, and then we're going to pray over Jeremy and Shauna. And I just want to say, too, before we do that, we like just to gather around people and pray for them. But before we do that, they're not married. Like when she mentioned being engaged, it's not to Jeremy. They just happen to be sharing their testimony on the same day. So just there's no confusion over that when we bring them up. He's not the engaged guy that she's talking about. You'll probably meet him. He's from India. And you'll probably meet him sometime. So Jeremy's going to come on up, and he's going to share a little bit of his testimony with you all. Yeah, this is the one. Yeah. And so if you've been around since before we launched, you might have met Jeremy. He was here for the first 3 months of pre-launch, and the Lord brought him back. And so he's going to share a little bit of his story.
Good morning. So my story is very unlike Shauna's. I grew up in the church, and honestly, I cannot remember a date when I gave my heart to Jesus. For me, it's been a progression. But my relationship with Jesus was characterized by a lot of fear. I always felt like I was trying to measure up to God, like I was trying to do it right, and I felt like if I did it wrong, I would be punished. And that followed me right through high school, right into the workplace. And I think I should give you a little background of where I grew up. So I grew up in New Brunswick, which does not mean that I knew Shauna, where she lived in Nova Scotia. Everything is smaller out there, but it's not that small. So I have three brothers, and I have incredibly loving parents. And I grew up in a family business. So when I say family, it's multiple families who run a business, and it's a greenhouse business, 13 acres of greenhouse heated year-round, employing about 300 people, and we ship our plants all over North America, as far south as Texas and out to the Northwest Territories. So it's huge, right? And I love to say that I never had a job interview. I finished homeschool, never went to college, and got right into the workplace, and I was just asked to work there, right? I didn't have to qualify for anything. And I've worked the same job for the last 10 years. So I was a grower there. And the more that I've gotten out on the streets, I try to avoid that word. I was a grower. So as I was saying, this fear in my relationship with God followed me, right? And when I was about 24, 23 maybe, I went on a mission trip to the Philippines. And there I was like, man, like life is awesome. Like I was just having so much fun. And the Bible seemed like to mean more to me. And for those of you who are history buffs, I was in an outrigger boat. You know those like dugout type canoes with their like got sidearms on them? And we were motoring across Manila Bay out to Corregidor Island. Corregidor Island is a famous World War II scene, right? And I just remember thinking, you know, when I get back to Canada, I'm going to change my life. And I'm like, I'm not going to struggle with this fear that I have in my relationship with God. And I'm going to like, change the fear that I have with the people that I work around, and I'm going to, like, learn some stuff so I become more useful as a missionary, and I'm like, I'm going to like read my Bible less, and I'm going to learn plumbing, and I'm going to learn carpentry so that I'm like useful to God, right? And I had this view of myself that was something like, you know what, my brothers are better than me at this stuff, and my friends, and like I'm just like this guy that's like slow and behind. And well, I'm guessing you know the end of the story, but when I got back to Canada, it didn't go like I thought. And all my struggles came back, right? That fear came back. And I couldn't even figure out what to start with as far as like getting this skill that I wanted to do, right? So I spiraled into this place of like of depression. And I actually had no idea what was happening to me. But life went on, and I began to like lose weight, and I lost like 20 pounds or something, and my parents were getting really worried about me, and people would walk up to me and be like, "What's going on with you?" And I would be like, "I don't know. I think something's wrong with my relationship with God." But I was so discouraged, right, that I didn't know what to do, and I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying. It didn't seem to help. The Bible just made me scared. And so then my parents are like praying like crazy. Now, if you have somebody praying for you, just say a silent prayer for them, right? Because you just might owe your life to them, right? So they're praying like crazy, and then they're like taking me to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, does all the tests, and he comes back, and he's like, "You're fine." And he just looks me in the eye, and he's like, "Are you happy?" And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Well, you got to get happy." That was the end of that. Yeah, so again, life just keeps going on, and it's going on a year now of just like deep depression, and just I'd look at my eyes in the mirror and I'd be like, "Man, I'm scared of what I see. Like, I just feel like a walking corpse." I wouldn't give up on church because I was like, I knew there's God, but like, where's the reality of this, right? So then my job fell apart. Like, my boss was finally like, "All right, you need to just go take a break." Like I was having a mental breakdown. And I had traveled across the States with my dad, who's a sales manager, and by then I didn't want to talk to anybody, right? I didn't want to, like, interact with anybody. So I get back from that, and it's still the same, and then I just turned to food. Like, I was like, well, the only thing in my life that brings me any kind of, like, joy, if you call it joy, would be eating. So I just, like, began to eat, right? And honestly, nobody had a problem with that because I was losing weight, but I knew something was wrong, right? I knew something was wrong, and it was about that point that I began to realize, you know, this isn't going to fix anything. And so I distinctly remember this because, as I told you, I stopped praying and I stopped reading the Bible, right? And I kneeled beside my bed, and I can't remember what I prayed, but I think it was something like, "God help me." And then I think I prayed for somebody else. And all I can tell you is that within like a few weeks after that, my life, my attitude, my emotions had entirely changed, like entirely. I had the same work environment, the same people around me, the same everything, except for that I was different. And there was joy, like, it was unreal. Like, I was so glad to be alive. The grass was greener, the plants were more beautiful. I was like, "Wow, like, this is incredible." And I would want to clean the house at like 4 a.m., like, it's crazy, but I was just glad to be alive, right? And I hadn't helped my mom for a year, and I just felt like I just want to like help her back. And then because of that, I started having this love for people on the streets, right? And I could just identify with addiction and that kind of thing. So it was shortly around then that I met Cal Mascari, Nathan's dad, and I started helping out in his ministry. I traveled all across the East Coast with Cal. And of course, when you meet Cal, you meet Nathan. And at the time, Nathan was in Bible school. And Nathan says to me, he's like, "You know, I'm going to go to Thunder Bay and plant a church, and do you want to come?" So I came. I was here a year and a half ago or so, and I helped start Transformation Church. Well, the thing was that I had a full-time job back on the East Coast, right? So I went back, and I was a manager there and everything. And then about this time, through another set of circumstances, that fear, some of that fear came back, some of that depression and anxiety. And I'm just mentioning this because I just told you an incredible story about God's faithfulness and just deliverance, right? And this is another story of perseverance. The deliverance wasn't the same. And so as I'm like wrestling through these things, I reach out to people. I learn how to pray. I learn how to pray more. I learn to just like call on Jesus, right? Just call on Jesus. And at the same time, I'm praying about my future. And as I just keep praying it over, I'm like, I just sense that it's like time for me to move. So I put in my word with the manager, and because of my position there, a two-week notice was not nearly enough, right? So I actually put in my notice like a year and a half before I left. I started training somebody else. And so then as I kept praying more, I was like, well, where should I go, Lord? And just Thunder Bay kept coming to my mind. So finally, June 8th or so, I throw all my stuff in my Civic and start driving across the country, and here I am, as unlikely as ever. And I think, you know, my heart for this community would just be, I guess when I was here at the church plant, I just loved the transformation church was doing. I love their heart for the community and just to see change. And I love working on the streets. I love praying for people. I just, I have a heart to see, you know, Thunder Bay radically changed, right? And that's going to be probably through you and I, right? God's going to move, but it'll be through you and I. I guess if I was going to highlight one thing in my testimony, it'd just be that God miraculously delivers, right? But also, there's times when he doesn't. And we have to, in a way, wrestle with God to get to Jesus. Would you say an amen to that? And, yeah, I would just close with a question. And it would be this. Will you fight to get to Jesus with those things in your life that trip you up? And when I look at my life, it's like, that's what I've been doing over the last bit. I've been like fighting to get to Jesus, right? Like, Lord, I need you to break through in this area. And through that, God is ministering to my heart. And even as I drive across Canada, God is touching me with his love, right? And I'm like learning to cast those things at the feet of Jesus, right? And actually like take my hands off. It was like I was driving my car and it's like, take your hands off the wheel. Like not literally, but like in your life, right? Like let those things go at Jesus' feet. And there's a verse that I thought was appropriate for this. Well, I wrote something else here. I'm like, I'm sure we are okay with a miracle of deliverance, but will we be okay with the journey of endurance until God breaks through? So there's a verse here. We can rejoice, too, that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And I would just close it by saying, God is faithful. And all the time.
Amen. We're going to pray for Jeremy and Shauna, and just make sure both of them have a heart for outreach. And I hope that's what develops into our heart as a community more and more, is a heart for outreach. And make sure you talk. Jeremy's already had some really cool interactions with people on the streets. He's super bold, and he'll just walk up to random people to tell them about Jesus. And he was telling me last night about these people that he met just out at Cam River Park. Had an incredible interaction, and it was really encouraging. God really is at work, and we're believing him to see some change and transformation in this neighborhood, in this city. But it starts in our heart.